Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Nečas says that Transport Minister Dobeš must fix the vehicle registration system by Friday or resign. A British university study points to giant tobacco companies' alleged corruption of the Czech political process, and President Klaus and several government ministers are set to attend the Olympic Games in London. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has given Transport Minister Petr Dobeš until Friday to repair ongoing issues with the country's vehicle registration system, or resign. The Prime Minister called the situation unacceptable as the two men met to discuss the debacle on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík also expressed frustration with Dobeš over the new computerised vehicle registration system launched a fortnight ago, calling a meeting with the minister on Tuesday and telling the media that she was disappointed that Dobeš did not carry out a recent threat to revert to the old pre-upgrade registration system if problems were not repaired within 2 days. That deadline came and went as the Central Vehicle Database, or CRV, continued to malfunction across the country on Monday, with reports coming in of security guards and police having to restrain upset visitors to the CRV offices in the city of Brno. The Transport Ministry is undertaking crisis meetings over the affair. Latest reports suggest the database could take years to fully fix, while the company behind the work, ATS Telkom, must still be paid a promised 37 million crowns for the faulty system. A study undertaken by the British University of Bath and released last month claims to demonstrate that tobacco giants Philip Morris and British American Tobacco are successfully influencing Czech policymakers. The study suggests that lobbying efforts targeted at top officials have resulted in tax structures that favour their brands. The study, which was led by the University of Bath's Rizako Shirani and Professor Anna Gilmore, notes that the Czech Republic is also the only EU member state not to have approved a World Health Organization framework convention on tobacco control, adding, quote, "Tobacco control has remained extremely weak in the Czech Republic, with the country's policies recently being ranked the fourth least effective in Europe," end quote. Meanwhile, analysing the report, news site ihned.cz pointed to a recent decision by Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek to raise duties on cheap cigarettes by 5 crowns, while the more expensive cigarettes produced by tobacco giants such as Philip Morris were only increased in price by 2 crowns. Responding to the allegations, Philip Morris said that governments were entirely free to choose how they legislate. Czech President Václav Klaus is to attend the opening ceremony of the London 2012 Olympics on Friday, while several Czech ministers, including Defence Minister Alexander Vondra, Education Minister Petr Fiala and Minister of Health Leoš Heger, are also preparing to attend the Games. While in the UK, Klaus will also be opening a new Czech centre in London and will attend a reception with Queen Elizabeth II at Buckingham Palace. He is scheduled to remain in London until Monday, supporting the efforts of several Czech Olympians. Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg are not expected to attend the tournament in London. Municipal authorities in the Prague 7 district are considering taking DNA samples of dog poop not cleaned up by irresponsible owners in an effort to identify the offenders. Though the district is collecting 1.7 million crowns annually in fines from dog owners, it is spending 8 million crowns on cleaning up the mess. Frustrated officials have had enough and say that since all efforts have failed to engender a sense of public responsibility in dog owners, that they are seriously considering resorting to the extraordinary measure of asking owners to voluntarily submit samples at a cost of 600 crowns, which would then create a central database against which offending samples could be checked. Last year, Prague 7 authorities undertook a high-publicity advertising campaign targeted at dog owners. Feedback is currently being solicited from locals on the DNA plan via a newly launched website. And a quick look at the weather. Warm weather conditions are expected across most of the country, with clear skies and temperatures just below 30 degrees Celsius. Overnight showers are expected in central and southern Moravia, which will remain cloudy throughout Wednesday. I'm Dominic Yoon, and that's the news for now.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech Radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, Czech athletes are off for London. Off for the Olympic Games. We'll look at some of their chances. Also on the same topic, we'll be looking at a new sculpture or work of art by David Černý called London Booster. That's all ahead. The Czech Olympic team is off for London, where athlete chances are thought to be excellent in more than half a dozen disciplines. Special flights took 66 Czech athletes to the capital of London on Tuesday, and President Václav Klaus and several government ministers are planning to visit over the coming days. Christian Falvey has more.
Classic double-decker buses will take Czech medal seekers from the airport to the Olympic Village Tuesday afternoon, and the next we'll see of them will be on the field. Expectations are high for the Czechs in several disciplines, with experts speaking of chances for 6 to up as many as 8 medals. The group of 133 athletes is the largest ever to leave Prague for the Olympics, and about 15 of them are being hotly watched, among them world number 6 tennis champion Petra Kvitová, who is of course no stranger to the courts at Wimbledon, where she won her greatest triumph so far in 2011.
I guess it can't get any better for me than playing on grass at Wimbledon. It's a great advantage for me that the tennis events will be held there. I'm going to try to win a medal. That's the greatest goal, and I believe that either in the singles or in the doubles, it will happen.
Petra Kvitová takes to the court on Saturday. Among the others on whom Czech hopes rest is star rifle shooter Kateřina Emmons. Formerly Kateřina Kurková, she came out of the last Olympics with not only the gold in the 10-meter and the silver in the 50-meter rifle events, but a new husband in fellow shooter American two-time medalist Matthew Emmons. Another serious contender is cyclist Jaroslav Kulhavi, who won the World Cross Country Championship last year and the European Championships the last 2 years. The javelin could belong to the Czechs this year. Reigning gold medalist from Beijing, Barbora Špotáková, is back after adding 2 second-place world championship victories to her resume. Her fellow thrower, 29-year-old Vítězslav Veselý, who came in first in this year's European Championships, is also considered one to follow. Veteran Olympians Štěpánka Hilgertová and Roman Šebrle are back for the 6th and 4th times, respectively. Canoeer Hilgertová will be seeking her 3rd gold and decathlete Šebrle his 3rd medal. The consistently successful rower Ondřej Sinek will also be back for his 3rd Olympic Games, having won the silver in Beijing and the World Championship in 2010. Among non-athletes, Czech President Václav Klaus, a great fan of tennis and basketball in particular, will be attending the final stop of the Olympic flame at Friday's ceremony. After a reception at Buckingham Palace with Queen Elizabeth and other heads of state, Mr. Klaus will open the Czech house in the British metropolis and remain in the city until Monday to watch the Czech teams. At least 4 Czech cabinet members have said they too will be visiting London over the next 2 weeks. In addition to watching the events, Industry Minister Martin Kuba plans a series of business meetings in support of Czech business. Defense Minister Alexander Vondra will be attending the closing ceremony on August 12th.
Christian Falvey reporting there on the Czech athletes headed now for London for the Olympic Games and on some of their chances at doing well. So, of course, we will be keeping our fingers crossed for them, or holding our thumbs, as they say in Czech. And if you're following the games and you're looking forward to the different events, then be sure to share your thoughts and feelings with us here at Radio Prague. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. And we stay on the subject of the Olympics now. A new work by renowned Czech artist David Černý has gone on display at the Czech House in Islington, London, to coincide with the Games. Entitled London Booster, the work features a converted red double-decker doing push-ups. That's right, you heard me right. The 6-ton mechanical sculpture even audibly grunts and groans as it lifts itself off the ground, making it a perfect draw for the upcoming Olympics. Yes, struggling indeed, the bus there. Now, those familiar with Černý's extensive body of work will not have forgotten, of course, things like the Russian tank he once sprayed pink, or his King Wenceslas riding a dead horse, or the provocative Entropa, a giant model kit that enraged at least a few politicians during the Czech EU presidency by lampooning national stereotypes. For example, a Turkish squat toilet representing Bulgaria, or a swastika-like web of highways, Germany. By comparison, Černý's work for the Czech House during the Olympics Games is just as accessible but far less controversial. Jan Vitvar covers art and culture for the Czech weekly Respekt.
práce Davida Černýho má takový jako dvě linie vlastně celou dobu, co on tvoří.
There have always been two dominant threads in Černý's work, one that is more provocative and one less. In a way, I almost prefer the work that intends less to shock. That's not to say that London Booster doesn't have Černý's signature or elements typical of the artist. His bus, a huge project, includes a human backside. That is a typical Černý element he's used before, and you don't have to be an art historian to figure out he's using the bum to have a bit of a laugh.
Aby pochopil, že si vlastně diváků David Černý dělá trochu prdel.
Indeed, but at the same time the artist enjoys sport and is even an active cyclist who also has a sports plane license. And in his interview, which was broadcast on Czech TV, David Černý himself said it was natural to choose push-ups for his athletic bus.
There's one common exercising for every sportsman around the world, and it's push-ups. So I thought that the push-up would be a perfect fun. And the thing about the push-ups is also that in one hand, of course, it's training and exercising for sport activities. But in the same time, it's a punishment in whatever army or probably prison or wherever. So the push-ups are very universal, a kind of movement or physical, improving the physical abilities. So that's why I quite like it. And so it's in a way very ironic, of course.
Already the massive sculpture is getting plenty of attention, and for new or longtime fans of Černý's work, it seems a given that seeing London Booster in person will be one of the highlights in London outside of the games themselves. And here's Respect's Jan Vytvar once again.
On the one hand, Černý runs an independent-minded studio at home to help emerging artists that is very alternative-minded. On the other, he enjoys big public projects like this one and is attracted by them. A few years ago, he presented a remote-controlled car at Rotterdam. Before that, there was the walking Trabant that symbolized East Germans fleeing to the West. And there were his meat cars he displayed at the National Gallery. For him, the car always represented freedom and speed, albeit with the perversion that cars are also destroying the planet.
And that was Jan Vytvar, who works for the weekly Respect as an expert on art and culture, commenting work by David Černý, including his latest London Booster. Now it's time to turn to today's main feature, which is another edition of Spotlight, this time with Christian Falvey, and it comes to you from one of the corners, one of the four corners of the Czech Republic. It was first broadcast back in 2009.
Borderlands are fascinating areas where cultures either meet and intermingle, or in some cases are cordoned off to coldly stare at one another. The Czech-German-Austrian tri-border has experienced both. Over the last century, it went from being an imaginary line through the woods to a literal iron curtain and back again. What's emerging here today is a cross-cultural region deep in the Bohemian Forest National Park. While the Austrians and Germans refer to the park by its location as the Bohemian or Bavarian Forest, respectively, the Czechs call it Šumava, after an old Slavonic word for dense forest that today evokes the rustling of leaves. The three countries share the woods from a point on Trojmezná hora, or Three Border Mountain, and their good cooperation in managing the area is what has kept the Bohemian Forest a national treasure on all sides of the tri-border. Michal Valenta handles international relations for the Šumava National Park.
We have the last remnants of the mountain spruce forests, for example. We have a large area on the border to the German National Park where we try to establish common wilderness areas called Wild Herd of Europe. The area on the southern part where the National Park borders Austria is an isolated area, and this area is especially important to preserve the glacial lake area on Plešné. Šumava is the largest park, national park in the Czech Republic, and mainly the only one park where the protection of the nature on great areas and large areas possible today. We have large extent of areas which are non-inhabited today, according to the development after the Second War. so that on large areas it's possible to let the nature to be free without intervention.
Those developments after the Second World War were, of course, the expulsion of the ethnic German population and the building of the infamous border zone by the communist regime. A buffer of barbed wire, lookout towers, surveillance roads, and electric fences that marked the boundary of the West and the so-called East for some 40 years and made the Central European communist countries a de facto prison. What villages remained in the no-go zone were dismantled so as to leave no cover to escapees, and for 4 to 10 kilometers into the Czech side of the border, the country was left to nature.
It's a little bit paradox because the main reason that National Park could have been established was the existence of this protected belts along the area, because a lot of areas could be preserved here in very close to nature's stadium, so that the main populations of the most typical animals lived in these areas along the border.
To say the Shumavais, the end of civilization, would be to overlook one deep mark of 18th century technological prowess etched into the ground here. The Schwarzenberg Timber Canal is a 60-kilometer log flume constructed over the course of 33 years. One of the first of its kind, the canal crosses the Vltava hinterland to the Austrian waterways, breaking the continental divide and ultimately allowing a continuous stream of water from the Black Sea to the North Sea. In the tiny settlement of Jeleni on the Schwarzenberg Canal lives one Čestmír Hrbek, a general in the Czechoslovak army who bought an old gamekeeper's lodge here 20 years ago and turned part of it into a small museum in honor of the great technical achievement.
Konec 18. století totiž bylo období industrializace.
The end of the 18th century was the age of industrialization, when factories were being built, people were moving from the villages to the cities for work, and the cities grew tremendously. And they needed wood of all kinds, wood for building, wood for burning, wood for furniture. In short, there was a huge demand. And meanwhile, the resources in the south were running out. There were no more forests. Vienna was in the middle of a fuel crisis. Another year or two, and they would have all frozen to death, the Viennese. And just 100 kilometres from Vienna was the immense Bohemian wilderness, where wood was falling all over the ground and rotting in the mud. But no one knew how to get it down.
Where there's a rich family of noblemen, though, there's a way. And who owned the Bohemian forest but the Schwarzenbergs? One of the wealthiest and most powerful families in Europe at the time, the Schwarzenbergs certainly had the wherewithal to solve just about any problem the era could pose. But even money can't move mountains of trees without the smarts of someone like Josef Rosenauer, the Czech engineer who put the plan into action.
Rosenauer vsadil na vodu. Ten rozhodl, že dřevo odsud.
Rosenauer placed his bets on water. He decided that he would get the wood from here to the towns below by water, by rivers via the Danube and the Vltava, and he would get it to the rivers by water as well. And since there was no natural waterway to the rivers, not even a creek, he knew they would have to build one.
Today, people from all sides of the border come to wonder at their shared history in the mossy stone beds and beautiful neo-Renaissance tunnels of the canal. Over a lunch of fresh mountain trout in the frontier town of Nová Pec, I had the good fortune of meeting Austrian artist Joachim Eckel and his wife Joanna, for whom visiting the Czech side of the border is an important custom.
Yes, we try to come every other week.
And why?
Because we feel very linked to this land and to this area, because our relatives, our family, part of it comes from Bohemia, which used to be one big culture here. And after the Iron Curtain, the family has been separated, and we feel our roots here also. And we think that the main duty for us now is to relink again, and that we find mutual ground again, and that we have to learn the language also, because like our parents, they didn't speak any Czech, but our grandparents, for example, the main language has been Czech. And yeah.
So have you learned some Czech?
Only very, very little, yeah. but we hope that in our children will start to link up better than we do.
And do you have any special feelings towards Czech Republic? Or?
No, I like the countryside and I like to come here and to see how they live here. And yeah, it's good that it's open again and we can go over and see what's going on here. And we didn't do this 20 years ago or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We didn't do this and now it's to discover and I like it. Mm.
And are there any benefits to living close to the German border for Austrians? Do you ever go to Germany?
Sure, we go to Germany also often. But I think the main difference is that in Germany we feel that everything is very similar to Austria. And in Czech Republic, since the last nearly 50 years, yeah, there has been a communistic government here. A lot of things have been developing different. And in my opinion, the people have the chance here now to learn from the mistakes we have done over the last 50 years also. And I think that the Czech culture around 1900, it has been the Switzerland of Europe. The industrialization here and all the iron industry, the glass industry, this all has been developed to a very high point here in Czech Republic. And now we have to watch and learn from the Czechs how they're handling the situation here now. I think it should be a positive exchange.
Living right beneath the real Iron Curtain and experiencing the whole of the region since then inspired Mr. Eckel to undertake an interesting project on the market square in the Austrian town of Aigen, a tangible display of regional unity among the peoples who have shared this landscape across three countries and for many, many hundreds of years.
The Bohemian Woods actually are covering an area in Germany, in Austria, and in Bohemia, or in Czech Republic. And I think that the link and the relationship to the land will make us find mutual ground again, because we have a mutual origin here. So what we did is we brought 40 square meters of land from the Bohemian Woods here to Austria, from the Bohemian Woods in Germany also we brought an island of 40 square meters and five other islands from the Bohemian Woods from Austria. So we were trying to let them grow together again. Yeah, it's a symbolic thing, but it all has been based on participation of the people here in Germany, in Austria, and in Czech Republic. And I think this is a quite nice symbol, a nice picture for how we can find mutual ground again.
That edition of Spotlight was first broadcast back in 2009. It was presented by Christian Falvey. That takes us to the next portion of our show, which is our continuing language program, the ABC of Czech.
Welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own language course in which we look at Czech numbers and their use in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Daniela Lazarová
and she will help me to explore the number 10.
Deset.
The sound of the word is quite different from the English, but again very similar to other Slavonic languages. The figure of 10 is
desítka,
a word which in Czech is most often associated with 10-degree beer, usually one of the two varieties produced by a particular brewery. A
desítka
has a lower alcohol content than a
dvanáctka,
a 12-degree brew. Another word derived from the Czech word for number 10,
deset,
is
desatero.
With a small d, it simply means a group of 10 objects. With a capital D, it means the Ten Commandments, or
desatero božích přikázání,
in full. On the other hand,
desaterák
is a ten-pointer, a stag with 10-pointed antlers. Another word,
desetikoruna,
means a 10-crown piece, but don't get confused by the slang expression for it,
pětka,
a fiver. The illogical name is a result of historic development of the Czech currency. One-tenth is
desetina.
It sounds very similar to the adjective
desetina,
which means decimal, as in the decimal point, which, to make it more complicated, is actually a comma in Czech. So once again, the decimal point in Czech is
desetina čárka.
Staying with maths, the decimal system in which most of us count in our everyday life is called
desítková soustava.
And in sport,
desetiboj
is the decathlon. And this is all for lesson number 10.
Desátá lekce.
Literally, the 10th lesson. We'll be back next time with more Czech numbers. Till then, goodbye.
Nashledanou.
The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. And that's all we have time for today. I'm Jan Velinger. Bye-bye.